Greetings. Greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. It is the Weekly Worldview, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back. It's the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do help you if we can. We're here to help. We'll do our best. We start in Chicago. That's right, Chicago, where two women sitting in the left field bleachers were shot during a Chicago White Sox game. Yes. Now, according to police, their super-duper, super-special shot spotter software detected exactly where the bullets came from. They came from a housing complex about 3/4 of a mile from the baseball stadium. So shot spotter is kind of like having a security camera at your house where you can watch your house get robbed live. And shot spotter, so they can't stop the shooting, but they can tell you precisely where you were shot from, which is very helpful when you've been shot, just to know. So the game, they never even stopped the game. It was in the third inning, and the game continued, and which begs the question, did the White Sox lose? Yes, they lost. So just another day in liberal America. Liberal utopian America. You go to the ball game, you might get shot. And they won't even stop the game. Not stop the game. They won't even disrupt the game. They won't even, I mean, the pitcher walks off the mound and shakes the little white bag and wipes his hands, and the umpire will, the batter asks for a break and the umpire will. But if you're shot in the left field bleachers, the game goes on. Okay. So from there, we move into our real science file, where a 100-year-old wooden house survived the Lahaina fire out in Maui, but nobody is saying it's a miracle because it's not a Catholic church, and it's obviously not a miracle. Yes, in fact, a photograph of the house offers what officials call a crucial lesson in wildfire safety. And that lesson is don't rely on a miracle. Clear all the debris from around your house. A fire expert, a wildfire management expert, said as he looked at the photograph of the wooden house that survived. All the houses around it burned to the ground. Every tree around it burned to the ground. Every car burned into a singeing crust. But here's this wooden house sitting there with a car in the driveway. A green. It looks like a Photoshop, because you've got this green yard and house in the midst of just this black and gray devastation. The fire expert says the first thing I see is space. He said some of it was a lucky location. The ocean was protecting their deck, but there's a lot of space between them and the neighboring houses. And the absence of mulch and dry plants around the house, the absence of dry tree branches, means there's no fuel to spread the fire to the house itself. And if you go back and look at the Catholic Church that survived, miraculously, it's the same thing. The Catholic Church sat in the middle of a large plot of ground that was clean. So it's not a miracle, it's just chance. And physics, and a little yard work, that's all. And, you know, there you go. Now, but more on the Maui fires. From the Dim New World file, the Hawaii Department of Land and Natural Resources, their deputy director out there, he's the deputy director of water management because the director was overloaded trying to manage the water. So they hired a deputy director. You know what a deputy director is? He's the guy who actually does the work. The director collects a larger salary. It has a higher GS position in the government. The deputy director is the guy you rely on to actually do the work. Well, he has been reassigned following his role in a decision to delay allocating water to landowners during the fire. So the deputy director, he's the guy with his finger on the switch, and people were like, we're burning, we need water, and he hesitated. And people burned alive in their cars, in their houses, because deputy director Kaleo Manuel, he did not allocate water quickly enough. And did you notice he's been reassigned? He has not resigned. He has not been arrested. He has been reassigned. A water standoff played out over much of the day. The first day during the most intense part of the Maui fires, there was a standoff between the deputy director and homeowners downstream who were burning. They asked for water. Manuel wanted to get permission from Taro and Kalo farmers located downstream from the Haoles. That's the white people. So he wanted to get a request from indigenous peoples for purposes of, I'm sorry, not purposes. There's no purpose. For reasons of equity. So the deputy director thought it would look better for the historical record if the water release was made not for the Haoles, but for the indigenous Taro and Kalo farmers, you know, for equity, so that people wouldn't say you released the water for all those white people, those round eyes, those Haoles. How dare you? And so because he didn't get a request from the natives as quickly as he got a request from the white homeowners, he hesitated and people burned to death. Manuel participates in the Obama Foundation's Leaders Asia Pacific program, and he has expressed views that he prioritizes traditional local views on water, which means water to the tribes before the Haoles. Haole go home. Haole burn to death, said Kaleo Manuel. And he has been reassigned, so hopefully he'll learn his lesson, having caused those people to burn to death. Well, I guess he didn't cause them to burn to death. He participated in events that resulted in the death of probably hundreds of people. Is that how you say it? I've gone to urinalism school. Maybe that was too. That still assigns some responsibility to someone along the way. Okay, we could say that events occurred in which Manuel took part, events that resulted in the deaths of. All right. Let's go to the real religion file. We leave Hawaii and we go to Lebanon. Yes, Lebanon, I said. Beirut. According to Reuters, there was a drag show in Beirut. Now, that's not that unusual because Lebanon, right? If you go even back to biblical days, Lebanon was just a pagan land. And so there's a drag show in Lebanon. The show was hosted by two Lebanese drag artists. They're now drag artists. Okay, so who is this now? This is Reuters, so of course. Reuters is just a pile of perverts churning out propaganda labeled as news. The show was hosted by two Lebanese drag queen perverts at a bar in Beirut that Reuters says was known to be a safe space for LGBT individuals, unquote. That's Reuters. But shortly after the show started, the hosts had to end the show quickly. They had to run and hide after being alerted that angry men were approaching the bar. That's right. The trannies, no, they're not trannies. I apologize. I don't want to pervert anyone. If you have a certain perversion, I don't want to mispurview. I'm not sure how you say that. You know, like it's like misgendering, but it's assigning the wrong perversion. Misperving. Anyway, I don't want to misperv these pair of pervs. The pair of drag queens ran into the changing room and hid as a group of men gathered outside shouting that they were, quote, disgusted, unquote. These are men gathering around a gay bar saying that they're disgusted by the perverted activities going on inside. And so the two perverts hosting the show had to hide out for about 40 minutes where they removed their makeup and all their fake eyelashes so they looked like guys again, and then they snuck out. And it turns out the men identify themselves as, quote, the Soldiers of God, unquote, which is a Christian movement in Lebanon, a Christian movement that is going out into the streets against this open perversion that's just erupting and festering and pouring out and spilling out all over everything lately, right out in broad daylight in public, in front of God and everybody. And a bunch of Christian guys in Lebanon said, you know what, we're sick of this. This is disgusting. And so they went down to the bar. They didn't beat anybody up. They didn't threaten to kill anybody. They didn't blow anything up. They just said, we are disgusted. We do not want this in Beirut. Get out. Get out! And the faggots ran away and hid out. The Reuters does report, sadly, that this is the latest episode of hate speech against Lebanon's LGBT community. So that's the Reuters reporters. So hat tip to the Soldiers of God in Lebanon, in Beirut. So you're an inspiration. Hopefully you'll be an inspiration to people all around the world to just stand up and go out and tell the perverts they're perverted. Because if who's going to tell them if the Christians don't? And if they don't know they're perverted, I mean, some of these people have led such insulated lives, they don't realize how vile and disgusting they are. They really don't. And so somebody has to tell them. And then it's possible that they might change their mind about being a pervert and rebelling against God and destroying civilization and corrupting children and doing things for which God will punish them eternally with hellfire and damnation. Okay. So that's Beirut. We go from Beirut into the strong delusion file, where we check in with the International Chess Federation. That's right. That's the federation that ranks chess players, the masters, the grandmasters, and all of that. They've issued new guidelines for players who have transitioned, allegedly from male to female. Well, they've transitioned somewhere. But for the writers here at, let's see, this is KTVU.com, probably a local San Francisco news outlet. It's, just a note to the urinalists there. You can't actually transition from female to male. You can say you have. You can go down to City Hall and get a paper that says you have. But you can't really. So Just to let you know. So anyway, the International Chess Federation has issued guidelines for players who say they've transitioned, which is a sad day for the International Chess Federation. Just acknowledging the delusion of these mentally deranged, in some cases, people with mental disorders. In some cases, people who've been taken advantage of by other people who want to manipulate them and corrupt their minds. And in some cases, just perverts in rebellion against God. That's in some cases. But they're all very sad cases. And I'm sorry for all of them who think that they've transitioned or think they can transition or think they should or think they are. I feel very sorry for them, but I am going to stand up and say that they're a bunch of perverts and they need to cut it out. The International Chess Federation, on the other hand, says, no, we're going to pass some rules so that we can facilitate the destruction of our own members. They say that if you're changing gender It will impact a player's status and future eligibility. Sufficient proof of the gender change has to be submitted. This proof must be provided before the chess organization will recognize their gender. And there's the saddest part. The fact that they will recognize is tragic, sad, and criminal, really. But of course, the trans cultists, they paint this as the chess federation is not really doing enough. They've got too many restrictions and too many rules around the idea of gender transition. And so the folks at the San Francisco news outlet paint this as restrictive, and the devil will take that. The devil will take that as a win because he can for the moment. But this is all going to come to an end. View, and I'm your host, Doug McBurney, one of the most complex guitar lines ever ever riffed out in the history of such things.
That's why it's so
catchy. Yeah. That's right. Anybody can play that. Right? Not anybody. I never could. All right, so we jump now from where were we? We're in the Strong Delusion file, and appropriately, that carries us right over to the Science Really file, where we check in with Just the News via amgreatness.com, my alternative right-wing news aggregating sites that I go to now that I no longer visit the Drudge Report. Been off Drudge for, since COVID, since Drudge sold out. Right before COVID, oddly enough, which is strange that all occurred. But let's go into the report from Just the News, where we learn that the American Association for the Advancement of Science, also known as the AAAS, They released the peer-reviewed journal Science, I should say. The journal Science. Very prestigious journal Science. So as administered by the ass. Uh-huh. Well, they were reviewed. Speaking of reviewed, they got reviewed by one of their competitors. And the competitor, let's see, do I know who this was? I don't really care who it was, because it's just another bunch of secular morons and perverts and idiots. But they're competing with each other to see who can be most vacuous. And research on the journal Science reported that from 1997 to 2021, the journal saw a 40% drop in the use of hedging words. Hedging, I said. That's right. Hedging words in scientific research, hedging words refer to terms and phrases such as could or appear to, in order to provide some room for doubt. Well, there is a dramatic drop in hedging language in the journal Science. In 1997, there were about 115 hedging words for every 10,000 words. By 2021, that had dropped to just 67 words per 10,000 words. No more hedging. Basically, they're calling out the journal Science for acting like they actually know a whole bunch of things that they don't actually know. And that a whole bunch of things have been proven which actually have not been proven. And this is basically, this is a revelation of the corruption of science and peer review over the past decade. It's gotten ridiculous. The news division over at the Journal Science, they acknowledge that this new research suggests a worrisome rise of unreliable, exaggerated claims. It's like they're letting the salesman write the clinical papers, for crying out loud. By the way, the federal government is the largest identifiable source of funding for the ass. That's the AAAS, the American Association for the Advancement of Science, also known as the ASS. $3.3 million a year from the federal government, in addition to many other grants that the ASS received. Folks, bottom line here. First of all, you can't make up the acronym. You just can't make that up. You can't hire writers to come up with something that good. Peer review is likely dead. And with it, unfortunately, our many significant advances will never be realized because of the death of science. But the rise of superstition, politics, marketing, and mistrust, that's doomed. Doomed the science of the Enlightenment to the scrap heap of history. So all the scientific advancements that you've come to expect here in the Western world from the civilization that our grandparents gave us, it's over. It's over. I mean, unless Christian minds prevail. Because, see, Christians aren't superstitious. We don't believe in magic or any of that stuff. So we are the rational minds that brought you the Enlightenment and the scientific revolution that started around 300 years ago. It was us. Thank you. Thank you very much. It was the Christians because we had rational minds. Well, now the superstitious pagans have taken over. And unless Christian minds prevail, all of that it's all over. All right, speaking of it being all over, from the Long Live the King file, Benjamin Keough has died at the age of 27. Benjamin Keough died last week from a self-inflicted gunshot wound last Sunday, in Calabasas, California. Calabasas, one of the richest cities in America, one of the most affluent zip codes in the world, Calabasas, California. Benjamin Keough shot himself. Benjamin Keough is the grandson of Elvis Presley. The grandson of Elvis shoots himself at 27 in the lap of luxury. In the hills outside of Los Angeles. So everybody mocked the fundamentalist preachers who warned us that when Elvis was allowed to dance and gesticulate and gyrate on the stage and the women were allowed to scream, The fundamentalists were mocked for warning us that the legacy of allowing young people to express unrestrained worship and adulation for an entertainer without any shame and without any restraint, the legacy of that would be death, that people would get killed. And they were mocked and they were called prudes. Uh-huh. Yeah. And in fact, the wild, uninhibited adulation and worship of Elvis was in fact celebrated by almost everyone outside of a very tiny fundamentalist community at the Christian church. They were all mocked for warning that such displays were ungodly, they were dangerous, they were satanic. People were going to get killed if you allowed the young people unrestrained worship and adulation, screaming and crying and all of that. And it turns out Elvis's legacy is Brian Keough. And the millions of other people dead who were given over to celebrity worship and fornication and drugs because society allowed the unrestrained worship and adulation of Elvis, just like the stuffy old fundamentalist pastors warned you about in 1956. Fast forward, and Elvis Presley's legacy lie bleeding to death on a floor in a rather nice home in Calabasas, having shot himself, Elvis's own grandson, Benjamin Keel. Very sad. From there, we move to the dim new world file where we go to Canada, which is one of the dimmest of the dim in the new world, where a governing body for psychologists there in Canada has ordered Dr. Jordan Peterson to undergo re-education. And that's a bit of an overstatement. But they have issued an order. And a Canadian court has upheld the regulator's order that Jordan Peterson must undergo re-education. That's right. The CPO, which I think is the Canadian Psychological Organization, I think, they got complaints against the doctor. Dr. Jordan Peterson is a psychologist or a psychiatrist. I'm not sure. And I'm not sure I even know what the difference is. But he's one of those. He's a head shrinker in Canada. He's got an official license to shrink heads in Canada. And the CPO got complaints against him, saying that his comments were degrading and demeaning and unprofessional. He was declared a moderate risk to the public, and the society felt that his speech risked undermining public trust in the profession of psychology. And so he has to go and be re-educated according to an order by the CPO. It's been upheld by the Canadian court. He has to do that if he wants to keep his job. If he wants to remain an officially licensed head shrinker in Canada, he has to go get re-educated because of what he said about the queers and the trend. Actually, I don't think he said anything about the queers. That's one of the problems, is that he didn't say something about the queers. And so it took the trannies to finally wake up a guy like Jordan Peterson. Jordan says, "I stand by what I have said and done. My opposition to trans surgery butchery, Justin Trudeau and his minions, and the lying climate apocalypse mongers. I stand by it all," says Jordan Peterson. "If I can't express such opinions in Canada, I will let the world know." So I guess he's going to leave Canada, or he's going to quit shrinking heads and he's going to make a living doing what he's been doing. I think the guy recently became a Christian, and I appreciate a lot of what Jordan Peterson says. And I don't think that he's going to submit to this order for re-education so that he now affirms transgender surgeries and all the butchery that he stands against. I doubt he's going to submit to that. But if he wants to keep his job and his status in Canada, he will have to comply. So this is a lesson to all of you out there who got the shot in order to keep your job. So anyway, it's just, if you just could have hung in there for a little while. I mean, you think Jordan Peterson is willing to undergo this? I guess we'll see. I don't think he will. I think he'll basically laugh in their faces. And he's probably earning a fairly good living now just speaking the truth, because there's quite a commodity these days. A lot of value to a guy who's willing to actually stand up and say things that are true. And so I don't think he'll submit. And for those of you who did submit, I'm very sorry that you did. And as we seem to lurch toward the next episode in the psycho-socio-political COVID saga that we've all been sucked into, I hope you'll look at a guy like Jordan Peterson and stand up firmly when they come for us the next time and say, "We will not comply." So don't get caught here. Take a chance and go gun crazy. I sell protection for a price. It's the Weekly World View. And I'm Doug McBurney. Thank you for hanging with us. Those guys are from Buffalo, you know. Some of them. No, the bass player and the drummer, I think, both from Buffalo. Buffalo, New York, that is.
It's not a...
Yes. So now I've been distracted by mention of Buffalo, longing for back home. Actually, this is difficult coming off of Jordan Peterson being condemned to re-education. That takes us further into the dim new world file where we remain in Canada, where Not the Bee reports that Canadian Sheila Annette Lewis was denied an organ transplant because of being unvaccinated against COVID. She wouldn't take the shot. And so she was banned from the transplant list. In July, an Alberta court ruled that Sheila could not receive a life-saving organ transplant because she never received her COVID-19 vaccine. She had been diagnosed with a terminal condition in 2019. She needed an organ transplant to survive. She was initially approved. In fact, she was literally next in line to receive an organ transplant, and then COVID hit. Vaccine mandates, doctors began to refuse treatment to those who would not take the COVID shot. Six different doctors removed her from a high-priority organ transplant waiting list because she had refused to take the COVID-19 shot. Sheila Annette Lewis died on August 25th. So not everyone can wait out the tyrants. But Sheila Annette Lewis was brave enough to try. And all six of these doctors and Justin Trudeau and everyone in Canada has her blood on their hands. They murdered this woman. They murdered this woman for simply refusing to do something extremely foolish and superstitious and crazy, like take an experimental shot for a disease that was highly unlikely to kill her. A disease that perhaps she'd already had. I don't know the whole story, but it's just, I'm really angry about that. I'm really angry that the superstitious pagans who've seized civilization were allowed to kill this woman. I'm very angry about it. And so, I guess, what can I do about it? All I can do is preach the gospel. That's all you can do. Eventually, the psychopathic, pagan, hysteric, superstitious maniacs, eventually they're going to hit a wall. And we just have to be there to pick up the pieces. And maybe save some of them from themselves, possibly. All right. So let's go now into the science... really? File. Where Naomi Wolf is a Democrat who you may remember back 20 years ago. She claimed that abortion was a, quote, necessary evil, unquote. You remember that? Naomi Wolf. I don't know if she's an actress. I think she might be an author, maybe an actress. I really don't know. But I know I've heard of her. I've heard her name. Well, she now says that, she revealed some Pfizer documents from Pfizer Pharmaceuticals. She revealed these documents over on Steve Bannon's War Room, which I don't watch that show because that guy annoys me for some reason. I don't know what it is. Something about that guy, I'm not sure what it is. I think it's a fact that he hasn't bowed and bent his knee at the cross of Jesus Christ, and I can tell, and so that guy's just not going to be helpful, in my humble opinion. I'm sure it's very entertaining. Anyway, Naomi Wolf went on his show, and she revealed Pfizer documents that reveal that in its clinical trials, Adverse events occurred in over 54% of cases of maternal exposure. That means pregnant women who were exposed to the COVID-19 vaccine ingredients, including through intercourse, inhalation, and skin contact, 54% of those women experienced adverse events. 53 women, 21% in the trial, suffered spontaneous abortions following Pfizer mRNA vaccination. And 6 premature deliveries resulted in 2 newborn deaths. So the clinical trial for the Pfizer mRNA vaccine was basically, I mean, it was obvious that it killed kids. It was just obvious in the clinical trials. Despite knowledge of these dire fetal and infant harms, both Pfizer and the FDA began an aggressive campaign to get women vaccinated anyway. And so Naomi Wolf says that the COVID jab literally murders babies in the womb, unquote. Thank you, Naomi. We appreciate that. What else? Naomi also said, here's what Naomi Wolf said to Steve Bannon. She said, quote, these are definitely unborn babies being killed since they involve the death of second and third trimester children, which even many abortion advocates consider persons. And so Steve Bannon, what did he say? He probably just mumbled. So Naomi Wolf has been educated by pro-lifers that first trimester babies don't count. And she's learned her lesson well. And I'm sure Steve Bannon feels the same way. Clueless. When you're murdering people and you're not aware of it, that is a very dangerous position to be in when there is a living God who's going to judge the world. And that's what the pro-life community has led these poor, ignorant, godless heathens, saps, to. Naomi Wolf and Steve Bannon advocate the murder of innocent people through what they say and what they don't say. And they don't even realize what a horrible, awful crime and sin they're committing. And then they're going to have to stand before God. That's going to be rough. So, okay, and it's going to pale in comparison to what's going to happen to CDC Director Rochelle Walensky. I mean, Naomi Wolf and Steve Bannon are going to be punished, but Rochelle Walensky is going to get a special personalized compartment in the depths of the hottest parts of hell. Because Rochelle Walensky was a governing official, a CDC director. She gave a press conference from the White House stating that pregnant women should take the mRNA vaccine. She said it was safe and effective from the White House. She said that. CDC director and chief COVID hysteric Rochelle Walensky said, quote, no safety concerns were observed for people vaccinated in the third trimester or safety concerns for their babies. CDC recommends that pregnant people receive the COVID-19 vaccine. That's what Rochelle Walensky said with her own mouth. God's going to run that tape on Judgment Day before he condemns her to hellfire and damnation for eternity. She said, she also declared, there's no bad time to take it, talking about the COVID shot. There's no bad time. Well, what if I'm pregnant and I'm about to have a baby? Oh, there's no bad time. You know, there's no bad time to arrest Rochelle Walensky. Pretty much any time would be the right time to arrest Rochelle Walensky and the rest of the pile of hysterical, superstitious sex perverts who seize the government. They should all be arrested. For crying out loud, the commandant of the Marine Corps should take a company into Washington, D.C. and arrest all these maniacs. Lieutenant colonels in the various guard units around the country should arrest almost every governor in the country. You know, almost every mayor, they should all be arrested. We need a military coup worse than Nicaragua, for crying out loud. We need some reasonable adults to arrest the cult. All right. Now, we go into the justice file where we have a woman who was convicted last week. Lucy Letby was convicted last week of 7 murders of newborn children in the hospital where she worked as a nurse. She's been sentenced to what prosecutors call a whole life order. That's this is in England, right? Lucy Letby's been, she's been sentenced to a whole life order. Nah. It's a rarely used sentence in British law, which means she will never, never be allowed to leave prison. At least theoretically. She will be allowed to live, which means that there is a chance she will leave prison at some point. She murdered 7 children at the hospital where she worked. A judge, Mr. Justice Gross, said Letby had acted contrary to the natural human instinct in murdering those children. Contrary to. Proving that the judge is pretty naive and doesn't really understand human nature, because it's actually not contrary to the natural human instinct for us to murder one another. It's actually not. In fact, that's why we have judges, because of people's tendency to murder one another. So the judge doesn't know anything about what's right and wrong and how human beings are and the fallen nature and sin and condemnation and hellfire and damnation. He doesn't know anything about that. This judge is just a hysterical, superstitious pagan in a robe. Back to the article. The children murdered by the nurse range from just a few hours to a few days old and were already in ill health, having been born with severe complications. She killed 7. She attempted to kill 6 others. And I would say that she was simply carrying out what the abortion regulators taught her. She's just carrying out what abortion regulators enact to the logical next step. Well, if the child is sick, we should kill it. That's all. And I mean, you said it was okay to kill in the first trimester and even some in the second trimester. And you said that in certain cases, it was legal to kill some in the third trimester. Isn't that what you've all, isn't that the position that you all take now, the abortion regulators? So she's just carrying out to its next logical step. So she murdered and attempted to murder these 13. How many is it? 7 plus 6. She murdered or attempted to murder these 13 kids over the course of just 1 year. And doctors in that year noticed a pattern at the hospital, and they made reports on her. They attempted to get her removed, some of the doctors there. But their efforts were shut down by hospital administrators, and the hospital management eventually told the doctors they had to write her an apology letter for having aired their concerns about all the dead babies. Yeah. Dr. John Gibbs said of the hospital managers, he said, I think they could not accept and could not believe that a member of the staff could be killing patients in the hospital. They just couldn't believe it was possible, unquote, says the doc, one of the doctors who tried to stop her. But this doctor may be a bit naive. I mean, sick babies are expensive, right? And we're in a socialist healthcare system with limited resources, and shouldn't we invest those resources in, you know, the persons who are going to be the most useful to society and produce the most tax revenue? And besides, the children could have been legally aborted after all before. So maybe the hospital administrator, they saw what this nurse was doing as just good for business. I'm your host, Doug McBurney. Just an awful, horrible story. What can you say about that? Just that's why God made hell, is because of that. And not just the nurse who killed the babies. Not just her, no. The whole corrupt institution that could produce such a vile, disgusting, just all of it. All right. We go from there into the death after Roe file, where chemical child killing is on the rise as unregulated virtual abortion pill dispensaries increase all across the country, following what WorldNet Daily calls FDA's decision to weaken regulations for the abortion pill mifepristone. So the FDA issued, so they had restricted availability of the abortion pill to some degree. And now they've basically said pretty much anybody can sell it, and you can send it in the mail. You can send this poison pill. So that now by 2020, abortion pills made up over half of all abortions. Half of all abortions in the United States in the year 2020 were accomplished via the poison pill. And most of those babies killed were within the Christian pro-life regulators' regulations. So that was those were good kills, according to the pro-life community. All the regulations enacted by Republican legislators, pro-life agitators, the pro-life industry. So technically, they qualify as pro-life abortions. So all the abortions done with the pill, we can now call them pro-life abortions. Yeah. And it's getting easier and easier for young girls to get the abortion pills. And the other ones, what do they call it, emergency contraception that you take after you think you might be pregnant. That's an interesting. Those are all pro-life as well. Today, according to the WorldNet Daily article, today all that is needed to set up a chemical abortion pill business is a computer, a phone, and the ability to write a prescription. One abortion provider recently called the selling of abortion pills by mail a, quote, great business model, unquote. Hey, it's bigger than assisted suicide. I mean, assisted suicide, they're doing the best they can, but there's no way they can keep up with the business model of legalized chemical child killing. That's more lucrative even than gender reassignment surgery, and much easier. You know, there's not all the blood and the clamps and the sponges and the need for the sterile, all of that. So, I mean, what a business model. Although, assisted suicide and gender reassignment surgical procedures, so, as difficult as all that is, they continue with that. Over into the Dim New World file, again, back to Canada. The Quebec Commission on End-of-Life Care has issued a warning that some of the province's euthanasia deaths are not complying with the law. Okay, let me read that again. A warning that some of the province's euthanasia deaths aren't complying with the law. Okay, so bad grammar aside, because a death, I mean, they can't comply with the law. What they're saying is they're killing people. Some of the people killing other people are doing it outside of compliance with the law. That's, which is more difficult to say but it is actually more grammatically accurate. All right. The commission warned that doctors to make sure they're in line before approving medically assistance in dying, also called MAID. Before we call the MAID, make sure you're in line with all the laws and the regulations and that you dot all the I's and cross all the T's, for crying out loud. So the commission there in Quebec, the Commission on Medical Assistance in Dying, the MAID, the commission reviews around 500 requests a month for suicide. A month! 500 a month! Just in Quebec. What's going on up there? So the doctors say, well, you know, at times, physicians, they don't really know. We don't know if it's all right or if it's not, and so it turns out sometimes it's not, but there's a lot of requests. We got to keep up with a lot of requests. And so, you know, sometimes we get it wrong. You know, the decision to murder an innocent person. Sometimes we, And so since it's always wrong to murder innocent people, even if they want to die, the physicians are in fact always wrong. Not sometimes wrong. Sometimes they get it wrong. No, they always get it wrong. By design, the state in Canada, it has now set up a mechanism by which the doctors are always wrong because they're murdering people. That is a state that must be abolished. The Canadian state cannot be allowed to exist as it does. It is an affront to God and to civilization and to humanity. I call for an end to the Canadian state. I call on members of the Canadian military who still know right and wrong to stand up and do what's right. Go arrest that little bastard. And pretty much everyone in the government. Unbelievable. Let's see. More from the dim new world there in Quebec. There was a memo issued warning doctors that a confirming opinion from a second doctor is a requirement, not a suggestion. I mean, this is like fourth grade. Hey, that's an order, not a suggestion, young man. But this is regarding killing people. Quebec has the highest rate of euthanasia death in the world, according to the WorldNet Daily authors. The commission there, the MAID commission, expects these deaths to continue to rise. 7% of all deaths this year in Quebec were assisted suicide, compared to 5% last year. That's quite a clip that they're growing. A business is booming. So, yeah, apart from metrics related to right and wrong, the program is highly successful and business is booming there in Quebec. Let's see. Despite the rapid increase and the fear that some deaths may not be legal, not everyone is happy. Well, obviously not everyone is happy in Quebec, for crying out loud. 500 people a month want to kill themselves. See, everybody's not happy, that's for sure. But the socialist, utopian, dystopian, hysterical, superstitious pagans who took over the government, they promised all the people that once they got rid of all those stuffy old Christian rules, everybody would be happy. And it turns out they were lying. And now Western civilization is just wants to kill itself. And a lot of it wants to kill some other people too. And so Western civilization is on a collision course with the greatest murder-suicide event in the history of mankind if something doesn't change dramatically and soon. From my lips to God's ears. So from there, we go into the death penalty file where Alexis Gertrude Young has been found guilty of capital murder, sentenced to life in prison without possibility of parole. And we put without possibility in quotation marks because there is a possibility of parole. Why was Alexis Gertrude Young convicted of capital murder? The 40-year-old woman went to the apartment of Aaron Williams, angry that he had a new girlfriend after a tumultuous on-again, off-again relationship with her. She was angry about him shacking up with another girl, and so she shot him to death. Now, her defense at trial had contended that the boyfriend, Williams, had inflicted years of abuse on the woman, Alexis Gertrude Young, which is true, by the way. The guy shacking up with the girl, that he's inflicting emotional, psychological, and spiritual abuse on her by shacking up with her and shacking up with other women. So it was true that the boyfriend had inflicted years of abuse on the woman. It's absolutely true. And it's just a horribly sad story. But the most common cause of murder in America is sexual immorality. And it's an actual public health emergency. How many stories like this could you find in the newspaper if you looked every day? You could find some every day, all over, everywhere. People shooting each other over shacking up with other people and inflicting abuse upon one another to the point where one person shoots and kills or somehow murders, hacks to death, whatever, kills another person. It's a true public health emergency, and it should be addressed by the government. But the first thing the government would have to do would have to voluntarily submit themselves to being arrested, put on trial, and most of them should probably be executed for what they've done. Bunch of criminally insane sex perverts have seized the government and have basically taught the people to defile one another to the point where they hate each other and they start killing one another. It's truly sad. So from there, we go to reason number 2036 to get or keep your children out of the government schools. Homer Community Consolidated 33C School Board. Okay, so right there. If you're sending your kid to an institution with a name like that, Homer Community Consolidated 33C, that should just be a red flag. That's all. Too many words, too difficult a nomenclature. I'm not going to send my kid anywhere like that. They have, over there at the 33C school district, they voted to fire an art teacher following criticism that the district did not properly vet the art teacher before hiring him or her. They don't say who it is. But it turns out that parents went to the Facebook page of the art teacher and saw all these postings about Satan worship and Antifa anti-police imagery. And they complained to the school board, and the school board has fired the art teacher. Following the backlash, the district noted that it was investigating. They issued a statement, of course, because no one wanted to actually get up in front of a camera or get up in front of a group of actual people and try to defend in any way what had happened here. So they just, the district released a statement because that nobody can chase the district down and stick a microphone in the district's face. So they issued the following statement. As you may have heard or seen online, there's been some question and concern with regard to 33C hiring protocols and details surrounding the conditions of hire for new employees. While the district cannot speak on matters of personnel for individual employees, I do want parents to know that I have heard your concerns. I, the district. And I understand the issues highlighted by the community, and I am investigating the situation. Don't you worry your pretty little head. Get you all taken care of. We're not talking about anyone in specific, of course. I don't mean the art teacher, the communist, and the Satanist. My goodness. Of course, we can't say she was a Satanist or a communist or anything like that. We just want you to know that our hiring protocols are being investigated for your good, and we're going to take care of you and your kids. Unquote. So, meanwhile, in Greece, there are wildfires burning Greece to the ground. Wildfires everywhere all at once. And Greek authorities have arrested 79 people in connection with the wildfires. Yes, in fact, we have a statement from Climate Crisis Minister. They have a Minister of Climate Crisis in Greece, Vasilis Kakilias. He's actually the Climate Crisis Minister. Try and say that three times fast. He's the Climate Crisis Minister, and he referred to the criminals as arsonist scum, he called them, stating that they were committing crimes. He said they were committing a crime against the country. Well, no kidding. They're starting fires. Duh. Yeah, they're committing crimes. Thank you, Mr. Climate Crisis Minister, for pointing out the obvious. In just the past week or so, over 200 fires have broken out all over Greece in numerous locations simultaneously. And so Greek officials have launched an investigation into the possibility that organized arson groups are coordinating with one another. The possibility 200 fires start all over the place simultaneously. Is it possible that somebody's organized? Yeah, I think it's possible. Let's investigate. And thankfully they have, and they have arrested 79 people. Folks, the climate hysterics that have been raised on a steady diet of climate hysteria. They've been raised in a religious cult of climate hysteria. These kids are going to make their point, even if they have to accelerate the destruction of the environment themselves. So if fossil fuels and global climate change are not destroying the environment fast enough, these kids will destroy it themselves to make the point. And that's what they're doing. So these kids who are starting these fires, when they're interviewed, they're going to say that they were doing it to get the attention of the adults who aren't paying attention to the destruction of the environment. And they're not going to realize the seriousness of the situation. They're not going to comprehend it because they've been robbed somehow of the ability to understand right and wrong and the consequences of criminal and sinful behavior. They just don't know. And so a generation raised like that will kill their parents and their grandparents and then each other and then themselves. So something needs to stop. Something needs to change dramatically. And so don't look to El Salvador's president, Nayib Bukele, for the change. Don't look to him. I know that Tucker Carlson had him on and everybody thinks he's great and he's saving El Salvador from MS-13. But listen to how he's doing it from the headline article, the article's headline, "Welcome to Hell, El Salvador's Mega Prison." El Salvador now has the Center for the Confinement of Terrorism, CICOT, they call it, in Tecoluca, El Salvador. The prison is built to house 40,000 people. It's already packed with an astonishing 12,000 prisoners, many of whom are bitter rivals from two of the most feared gangs in the world, MS-13 and Calle 18. These two gangs have a history of proving how their foot soldiers will take any opportunity to kill their enemies, and they're throwing them together inside this giant prison. Each cell contains around 75 prisoners who sleep on metal cabins and are forced to share two toilets and two sinks between 75 godless heathen gang members. Talk about hell. That's an appropriate headline. Welcome to hell. This is a lot like what hell's going to be like. Except they won't even have, you won't even have a toilet or a sink in hell. A report by human rights groups say they're not happy about this prison. That is now, that's 1 year since President Nayib Bukele launched his merciless campaign against the gangs. And it is merciless. To throw a man into a cage like this with his enemies and his friends, for crying out loud, is merciless and brutal and vicious. The prison began receiving inmates in February, and it's already 12,000 out of 40,000 capacity. The number of homicides in El Salvador has dropped almost 60%. An overcrowded 40,000 capacity prison full of the country's most dangerous criminals has reduced the murder. That's it. And so this prison is the only reason that the murder rate has dropped. But Bukele should be arresting, trying, and executing every possible gang member. Everyone who's got the mark. I mean, these guys actually have the tattoos on their forehead, for crying out loud. He should be arresting and trying and executing everyone who's got the mark. But Nayib Bukele doesn't know what to do. He doesn't know. So he claims to be some sort of a Catholic, but he's just a hapless a millennial who has no idea that what he's doing is cruel and unusual, and he should be executing these men and giving them the chance to repent, because some of them will when they face death. But he doesn't know that. By the way, listen to this. How did MS-13 start? Does anyone know? Latin American refugees fled to America during the Civil War in El Salvador back in the 1980s. And the MS-13 and Calle 18 gangs formed on the streets of Los Angeles. When the war ended, those from El Salvador returned and brought their gang affiliation, rivalries, and violence back to El Salvador. And now it's brought that country to the brink of collapse and caused their president to engage in one of the worst criminal offenses against humanity in history, Nayib Bukele. To lock these people up like this, one of the worst crimes against humanity ever executed, ever implemented. They should be executed. Anyway, as usual, America's number one export in this post-Christian era is evil and stupidity and criminality. And that's why we're here at the Weekly Worldview. And should the Lord tarry, we'll return next week. Until then, may the grace of God go with you. And may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.